Welcome to day 56. We are up to Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis, and we're continuing on the topic of shichacha when it comes to trees, and specifically to olive trees. If there's an olive tree that was forgotten to be harvested, or if there's piles that were forgotten in the field, is it shichacha? Is it not shichacha? So does it go to the poor, or does the owner still have a right to them? So says Mishnah Beis, Zayis shenimtza omei bin shnei, ben shalosh shuros, shalshnei melabnim. So imagine you have three rows of olive trees. Each row has three olive trees, and in between each row, there's a strip of land. So imagine you have a row of three olive trees, then a strip of land, another row of three olive trees, then a strip of land, and another row of three olive trees. So we're talking about the middle tree of the middle row. So if you imagine if you're playing Hollywood Squares, we're talking about the center square. Maybe that's a dated reference. You're talking about the center square. So the halacha is, ushachlo, if you forget to harvest that center tree, then eino shichcha is not considered shichcha, and different reasons are offered. One reason is because its place is so unique that it apply, the what we learned in the last mishnah applies. We learned in the last mishnah that if a tree is in a particularly special place, the owner will always remember it. Oh, that's the tree next to the wine press, as it said in the last mishnah. So the owner will always remember that tree and harvest it. So in this case too, it's very unique. It's the middle tree of the middle center of rows in between land, like it has a very defined landmark. So maybe because of that, the owner will for sure remember to go back and harvest that special tree. That's one explanation. The other explanation might just be that there's so much going on, it was probably blocked from view. The owner may not have seen it because there are so many trees around it. It's tucked in the middle and there's land between and all of that. So because its view could be obstructed, that is not considered shichcha. We learn that shichcha is only when something is naturally forgotten, not when an external factor causes you to forget it, such as other trees blocking the view. So either way, whether it's because the tree has a special place or because it is blocked from view, either way, it is not considered shichcha. Zay sheish b'sasayim u'shichcha eino shichcha. A tree, an olive tree, that produces two sa'az worth of olives and you forget to harvest that tree, it is not shichcha. We learned that previously by grain, right? We learned by grain that shichcha only applies to amounts that is smaller than two sa'az. It's got to be an amount that you can pick up and walk out, put on your shoulder and walk off the field. If it's bigger than that, if it's two sa'az, shichcha does not apply. Our mission is telling us that that is true for olive trees as well. Now, b'med devar amur, when is this true? So it's a little bit tricky to understand what this means. There are different explanations. We're going to explain it based on the way I think it's normally understood, is that b'med devar amur is not going on the previous case, but going on the case of what we learned in the last Mishnah. Perhaps at one point these Mishnahs are in some versions, perhaps these Mishnahs were connected, and that would make more sense. B'med devar amur means, when does it apply? When does what apply? And we learned in the previous Mishnah that any tree that is special or unique, either because of its reputation, its name, or because it produces a certain amount, or because it's by a particular special spot, as we just learned. In any of those cases, it's considered a unique tree. The owner will always remember it, and therefore shichcha does not apply. Says our Mishnah, we need to qualify that. Pamed devar meurim, when is that true? Bizman shlo hischilbo, so long as the owner didn't start harvesting it, that's true. Aval im hischilbo, if the owner did start harvesting, I feel because I said tupa b'shai, so even if it's such a unique tree that it drips, the oil drips from it, as we learned yesterday, ushicho, and the owner forgets to harvest the entirety of that tree, yesh lo shicha, there is shicha. And that's to say, it's an important qualification of what we learned yesterday. That's to say that when there is a tree that is very unique, because of its uniqueness, because its special reputation, place, whatever it is, we're sure that the owner will remember to go to that tree and harvest it. So as long as the tree is not yet harvested, we assume that the owner will remember it, and therefore there's no shichcha. But once the owner did remember it and started harvesting it, and then at that point forgot the point, we assume at that point it's like any other tree. Because of its uniqueness, the farmer will not forget to harvest it at all. But once they started harvesting, pieces can be forgotten just like any other tree. So that is an important qualification, what we learned yesterday. So once the harvest started, there's shichcha on those trees just like any other tree. The last case in our Mishnah, kol zman sheyesh lo tachtav, yesh lo barosha. So the question that this part of the Mishnah is answering is an important question. When does shichcha apply when it comes to, when does it kick in, I should say, when it comes to trees? At what point can we say, okay, now the owner clearly forgot it? Right? At what point does that apply? So the Mishnah says, or the first opinion in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama says, Kol zman sheyesh lo tachtav, yesh lo barosho. So long as there are still piles of olives underneath, right? You picked some olives, you put it underneath the tree, you pick more olives, you put it underneath the tree. So long as those olives are still there, at least some olives are still there under the tree, so then we can assume that the owner or the farmer will still go back and look above the tree to harvest the rest. But once the owner removes those or takes away those olives from underneath the tree, we assume that the owner has forgotten anything that is still left in the tree and that is still, you know, attached to the tree, and that would all would be shechcha if it was forgotten. Rabbi Meir Omer Mishatelecha Mechaveh. So Rabbi Meir says it's actually a little bit different. After there was someone who harvested, there was someone who would go by and just like double check, probably hit the tree a little bit to make sure there was no olives hidden. Mechaveh, right? The one who finds the hidden olives. Once that person goes by and tries to make sure after the initial harvest, he tries to look for those extra hidden ones. Once that person finishes the job, then anything left is considered forgotten. Before that stage, it's still fair game for the owner to go back and collect. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Ezehu peret. What is considered peret? We learned previously that peret by grapes is the same thing as leket by grain, right? When if a person is harvesting grapes, and a few grapes fall to the ground during the harvest, one or two we learned, so then it is not considered the owner's anymore. The owner cannot pick them up, but instead it goes to the aniyim. So our Mishnah says, Ezehu peret, what is peret? Hanosher b'shas b'tzira. It's specifically that which falls down during the harvest, because of, right, during that time. It falls on its own. Haya botzer. If a person was harvesting the grapes, right? Akatz es ha'eshkol. A person cuts down the cluster of grapes. Huspach ba'alim. And then the cluster gets caught up in the leaves and the vine, right? Nafal miyadu la'aretz minifrat. And therefore, grapes get separated from the cluster and fall to the ground because it got tangled with the leaves. Then, harehu shel balabayis. Then it belongs to the owner. Because that didn't fall naturally during the harvest, during picking of the grapes. That fell because they got caught in the vine, in the leaves, and it got detached. That is not considered a peret. Peret's only when it falls naturally during the harvest. So imagine someone says, you know what, I'm going to circumvent the halacha of peret. I'm going to put a basket underneath the cluster of grapes so that when I harvest it, any grapes that fall will fall into my own basket. Therefore, they have not hit the ground. They will not belong to the aniyim. Instead, I get to keep them, right, to try to get around the halacha of peret. Says the Mishnah in very strong language, Hareze gozel ashanim. We've seen the Mishnah say this before. That person is stealing from the poor. Alzenemar al tasei gvul olim. We saw this pasuk before. It intimates that one should not violate the boundaries, so to say, or transgress the area, that which belongs to those who are poor. You can't take away from them, right? A person is trying to say, I'm going to figure out how to make sure that all of these grapes are mine, despite what the Torah says about peret. I'm going to catch it for myself. I'm going to be creative. Says the Torah, no. Remember the purpose of the law. Don't lose sight of what this is about. They're not yours. They belong to the aniyim. And one who doesn't realize that, one who tries to go around this, is actually a thief, is stealing from the aniyim. In very strong language, an important reminder. Okay, we will continue with Mishnah Dalet tomorrow.